glad you're here. We're going to give them the word in just a minute. But first of all, I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to all your mothers out there. We'd like to honor you, so could you please stand up? Let's stand up. And we just want to give you a round of applause because we appreciate all you do for us. Come on, mothers, all stand up. Truly, it's a day we can really just go to a mom and say thank you for all you do. Because truly, they do a lot for us, don't they? Yeah. Guys, kids, yes, we know moms mean a lot to us. So why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads before God. Father God, we come into your holy presence. We seek after you. Lord, our hearts are wide open. I pray, Lord, as your Holy Spirit comes and fills us up, overflowing of your goodness. We're going to listen to all that you're going to instruct to us today so that we can truly live the abundant life that you promised us, because we need to live your word. And I pray your Holy Spirit will convict us of things, Lord, that we need to make right with you today so that we can truly come with our lives fully dedicated, submitted to you. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes today, the title of my sermon is Secret Service Agents of the White House. I didn't say White House now. I said White House. And I'm going to tell you what that all means in just a minute here. But I got to tell you, I remember when I was a young child, I'd come home from school. I would be so hungry. I'd go straight to the refrigerator. And before opening the refrigerator, though, I would notice in the corner of my eye that on the table is a bowl of wonton mein. And I love wonton mein. And a lot of times, roast duck would be right on top of it. I love that kind of stuff, you know. And right beside it would be an ice cold cup of 7-Up. And I'm thinking, oh, that's got to be for me. And I didn't question who was it for. I just start gobbling it down and, you know, drink the 7-Up, and oh, I'd be so satisfied. I'd go to my room, and then I realize, hey, hold on, something looks different here. Someone just fixed my bed. I remember when I left for school this morning, I threw my clothes on the floor, and it's nowhere to be seen. And then I'm slumbering on my bed for a little while. I'm just crashing out, and then I would go back to the kitchen and realize that someone had washed all my dirty dishes and cleaned up my eating area, because I usually make a mess when I eat. And hold on, my book bag. I remember I threw it on the ground when I came in, and hold on, it's sitting on the table. I go, wow, who did all that? But, you know, then I kind of think, oh, I don't really have to think too hard actually to figure out who's responsible for all of these acts of kindness towards me. Because, you know, when I looked at my brother, he's chowing down on his wontons, so it can't be him. And my dad, he'd be sitting on the couch just lounging, reading the newspaper. The newspaper is spread out. And I think, oh, it's got to be good old mom. And what is she doing? She's doing all these things in secret because she loves me. And I know that's what she does. She always knows that my favorite type of food is roast duck. And she always has it ready for me. And she knows that I'm always full of joy when I see the kind of favorite foods that she has for me. You know, the psalmist writes in Psalm 128:3, look what it says in your notes. It says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Well, you may ask, why would a wife or a mother be like a fruitful vine? You know, the fact is, she is this fruitful vine where? In the heart of the home. And just think about this. What does a heart represent? Love, doesn't it? And knowing that she's bearing much love in the household, she's pouring it out upon her family. And if you know anything about olive plants, you know, they shoot up vigorously. Oh, they're full of life, olive plants. And if the mother's love is abundant in the home, you can see the husband is so happy. And the kids, they're full of life, aren't they? And just like the olive shoots. just full of life. We know a mom has a big role in bringing forth this kind of happiness in the home. But let's face it, much of the time, mom's great deeds of service for the family, guess what? They go unnoticed, don't they? You agree with me on that. Because a lot of times, mom, they don't get the thanks that they deserve. So today I entitled my sermon, Secret Service Agents of the Wife House. And just realizing, yes, that they do a lot of things that go unnoticed. I want to show you this video to really get the heart of what I'm trying to show you. I'm going to ask Arthur to go ahead and roll that video. Got a box for you to sign for?
Great, just put it right there.
What is it you guys do?
You don't know?
No what?
Of course you don't know. I guess that's the point of all this.
I'm sorry, you lost me.
We monitor and collect every unnoticed service, sacrifice, or deed that moms do for their families. Oh, please. Melissa Richardson from Franklin, Ohio, just cleaned Sam and Charlie's room. Neither will notice.
What that just happened?
4 minutes ago.
Where did you get that information?
Well, I'm not really allowed to say, but you know, here and there.
Okay.
Sarah Pfeiffer from Long Beach, California just made her 100th lunch in a row without a thank you, Mom. Haley Cobb from Jefferson, Texas just did her daughter's forgotten chore milking the goat. Gross. And last but not least, Jennifer Wright cleaned the whole house, top to bottom, and her husband didn't notice. Ah, and we have video.
You have video?
Check it out.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How was your day?
Pretty busy.
Oh, yeah?
What do you think?
What do I think about what? Hang on, I gotta get this. McGuire!
He didn't even notice.
So, do you do this for dads as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a smaller division.
Dads don't do good things for the kids?
Oh, no. They do lots of good things. It's just moms do an exorbitant amount of unnoticed things.
So, how many people do what you do?
Well, this office has 3 shifts, 8 hours a shift, so 3 of us.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's it.
So you probably run into a lot of unnoticed acts.
And that's just this office. There are over 5,000 offices worldwide doing exactly what we do. They just keep coming in today. Treated and bandaged the skin knee. We see this one a lot. It's unbelievable.
I wonder if any of my moms are in that.
What's your full name?
Akron Lanier Watts.
A-K-R-O-N?
Yeah.
Wow, looks like your mom's got a lot in there. Yeah, typical stuff. Doing lots of laundry, cooking, cleaning. And your mom worked part-time.
She did?
Well, it looks like. Wow.
What?
Your mom also prayed for you.
She prayed for me.
A lot. Looks like you picked a good mom.
Yeah, I picked it.
Yeah. Oh, praise God. Aren't you grateful for your mom?
Yep.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you. Thank you, Mom.
Yep.
But to really get you to understand the significant role of Mom and realizing they do so much for us and they do it out of love. And we're going to look to the book of Nehemiah. We went through this book several weeks ago, but we're going to discover that there were people, so many people in the book of Nehemiah, that they wanted to do the things that God called them to do. And when it came to fame and getting glory, that didn't matter to them, because the whole thing about doing service to God is when you go unnoticed, you know there's one that is noticing all that you do. And who is that? That's God. And we know in Nehemiah 11 that after Nehemiah built the wall in Jerusalem, his next task was to convince people to move inside these walls now. It was called the inner city. And, you know, the surrounding cities, they were happy where they were. But Nehemiah says, now you got to move in. You guys got to go with God. You got to believe that as you move, God's going to go with you. And he's going to bless you. And what took place in Nehemiah 11 was considered to be the first urban development plan in history. Because in Nehemiah, there's a listing of names of all the people that basically were unknown. But they were necessary for the success of the city. And we realize that sometimes when God calls us to go, there's a reason. Because we're going to touch other people's lives. Because a lot of times when God says go, we go, oh, well, what about me? What's going to happen to me? But when God says go, we realize God's going to empower us. God's going to give us all we need to bring forth what he wants us to bring. And look what it says in Nehemiah 11, 1-2. It says, the leaders of the people were living in Jerusalem, the holy city. A tenth of the people from the other towns of Judah and Benjamin were chosen by sacred lots to live there too, while the rest stayed where they were. And the people commended everyone who volunteered to resettle in Jerusalem. Based upon these scriptures, we realize that there are three groups that had moved into the city. The first, if you look, verse 1 talks about the leaders. And these were the people that were appointed. The people were sometimes elected for these positions. It's sort of like a mayor, where he would be in charge of all the affairs of the city. Those were the leaders. The second group were the draftees. And these were the people from the other cities that would be told to go into the inner city. And the way they would be chosen is through the casting of lots. And think about it, just like drawing straws or flipping a coin. You know, they would say, okay, well, it's heads, so you got to go. And so they didn't volunteer for this. They just had to go because that's what the leaders told them. And then the third group would be the volunteers. This is the last group we're going to give attention to. And these are the ones that says, okay, I see there's a need, I'm going. They're the ones that say, send me. I know that if nobody goes, nobody's going to be there. The city will not thrive there. And these are the volunteers. I want you to understand the Hebrew word for volunteer means to impel or incite from within. And basically, it's through a moral obligation. They realize, well, why not me? Because if I don't go, nothing's going to happen. And let me ask you, are there times where you feel like you're morally obligated to do what God calls you to do, to the point you know you're going to help someone as you listen to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit tells you, go and talk to that person who's hurting right now, just sitting in the corner by themselves. Are you going to say, yes, I have that moral obligation because God calls me to love? We got to move when the Holy Spirit tells us to move, because these volunteers, they symbolize God's army of the great unknowns. And we have to understand that these are the kind of solid people who fill every good and thriving church. People who toil behind the scenes without any credit. Nobody sees what they're doing. They just do it because they have no other desire but to serve. And I got to tell you, God loves that kind of heart of service when people go and just say, oh Lord, I want to give them my best to you. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to do the job that nobody wants to do. I'm going to clean the toilets. I'm going to mop up that mess on the floor. Lord, I'm doing it for you. Oh, God just loves that kind of heart. And you know what? These volunteers, you know what they teach us? They teach us a simple truth, that God calls us to be faithful, not famous. when it concerns service to the Lord. We don't need to be famous, amen? We don't need everyone to see what we're doing. No, we're doing it for God. We're just being faithful to the calling that God has put upon our lives. But before we talk about these five unknowns in Hebrews, I want to tell you about the state of Tennessee. Did you know it's the 16th state of the Union, and it earned its nickname. You know what it is for you history buffs out there? You know what it is?
Volunteers.
Oh, yeah. The Volunteer State. And you know, during the 1800s, America was involved in the wars of expansion. They wanted to expand their territory. So basically, they needed volunteers, people who had to step up to take the role of leading. And you know, the Tennesseans, they volunteered in large numbers during the War of 1812, the Texas Revolution, the Seminole Wars, and the Mexican War. And the state became known as a state where people would volunteer and fight for what they believed. And they were the ones saying, I'll do it. I mean, they didn't have any problem people stepping up and saying, I want to do it. You know, there were a lot of famous volunteers during this time. You probably heard of Davy Crockett, right? That song, Davy Crockett, man of the wild frontier. Right? And he's pretty famous. There was even a TV show about him, right? And Sam Houston, that's another name you probably heard of. But there were thousands of others who were willing to sacrifice without fame or fanfare. And it was okay with them. They wanted their good deeds and their hard work to be kept secret because they realized it's not about them. They did it because they believed in it. And they said, we're going to be the ones that are going to make a difference. And the same for us in the church. Realizing that there are needs within the church. Are you willing to say, I'm going to do it? It could be something that no one wants to do, but you say, I'm going to do it. Because I know I'm giving glory to God. I'm serving God when I do this. So now we're going to talk about the five unknowns from Nehemiah 11 that serve as examples for all of us. And I know these names you never heard of before because, you know, they're not mentioned. You won't hear them in a sermon because not very much is spoken about them. So the first one, look in your notes, is Seraiah. Who heard of Seraiah? Okay, you did. All right, see, only one. But we realize that Seraiah, he played a significant role in the church. Look at what it says in Nehemiah 11:11. It says, Seraiah, son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraioth, the son of Atitub, and the official in charge of the house of God. So we know from this verse, Seraiah, he was in charge of the day-to-day operations in the temple. And he was the one who made sure everything was in place and that everyone had what they needed. He made sure people were comfortable, the AC was turned on, and that people, basically, they had good snacks to have after the service, right? So that's what his job was. And he had a very important role, just like, guess who? Just like mine. Because I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you, in the UN household, it's not uncommon to hear the following statements throughout the week. Mom, what's for breakfast? Do you know where my homework is? You know, usually the kids, right, would say that. Then the third kid would say, hon, you know where my wallet is? Where's my car keys? And, hon, where's my sermon notes? And, you know, I got to tell you, I appreciate John Lee for all she does. And I know she does it, I mean, just with a heart that we know is unconditional, the love that comes forth. And she loves her family. And she does above and beyond what we could ever imagine. And we can just see how much she loves us. And like for all of us, our wives or moms, they do it strictly out of love for us. And we have to be grateful for all that they do. And you know, I've got to tell you, in the present church, you know, the deacons, they play a big role in all of this. Because I used to be a deacon in church a long time ago at this church in Kailua. And I realized, you know, these are some of the things that we're responsible for, you know, making sure everything is in place. And, you know, at the park, when we're there on Saturday, I'm always going to Carr. Carr is the go-to guy on Saturday. I always go to him and say, hey, Carr, where are the box of Bibles? Or where's the Vienna sausages? Hey, we got any more slippers left for what? Somebody needs a slipper. We got any. And, you know, he would know where everything is because, you know what, he organized everything. And I know all the other deacons, all the other leaders, you know, Millie and Jimmy, all you guys, I know you guys all chip in and you guys just make our church van what it is today. I mean, it is so organized. I mean, wow, you guys know where everything is. And I realize you guys are doing this because you love God. You love to serve others, and because in the past, you know, I didn't know anything was. Everything was all scattered all over the place. I go, where's the Bible? I had to dig through like 3-4, you know, boxes before I find the Bible. It took me like half an hour to find a Bible. All I got to do now, Carl, where the Bible? Boom, right there. Okay. And I go, oh, praise God. You know, and that's what it's all about. When we can chip together like this and realize we're doing it for God. So there's no delay, because every time there's a delay, another person may have a need. It took us half an hour to find a Bible. Now it takes less than a second to get that Bible in the hands. Praise God for that. I thank all of you for that kind of heart of service for our Father God. Amen. Because that's what it takes. But you know, for a deacon, you got to understand his responsibilities extend beyond just being a church kid, church caretaker. They do what they do because it's out of service to him. And what that also means, they must have a character that is truly reflective of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 3, 12 to 13. It says, a deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his children and household well. They do well as deacons. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it is. You know, they manage their household well. They step up to be the spiritual leaders God called them to be. And that's why they're such strong leaders in the church. The question is, who are the Sarayas in our church? I know, I would say just about everyone who's involved in ministry. Oh, I just see how you guys just serve with your heart. And just like what Brother Freddie was saying, you know, that guy that he came up to me afterwards and told me the same thing. He said he serves in the prison ministry, but this is the first time he really experienced deeply the love of God. That's what we are to do when we go and do ministry out in the community. Remember, we're representing God. And we are to show the love of God in ways that people are going to know, oh, this is kind of love I hardly experienced. I don't see this very much. And they're going to say, you guys are genuine. This is a love like no other. This is a love, truly the love of God. Amen. And that's where we know we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And people are saying those things. Amen. They're saying, you guys really showing a deep love, a genuine love, a sincere love. We're number two here. We're going to talk about Shabbatai now and Jozabad. Who ever heard of them? Shabbatai and Jozabad. Well, look what it says in Nehemiah 11, 16. It says, Shabbatai and Jozabad, two of the heads of the Levites, who had charge of the outside work of the house of God. And these two guys were the temple building and grounds workers. So they did whatever was necessary to keep the facilities, the outside the church, right? Make sure that the facilities were kept in tip-top condition. And you know, I think about, like, for the mom in the household, they play a very important role making sure that the outside work of the home is done. And you know, I just think about, like, you know, how, like, John Lee would you know, take Abigail to her ballet lessons, or, you know, or driving them to wherever they needed to go, or, you know, for teachers' meetings or whatever. That's outside the home. They play a significant role in that. But you may say, you know what? If you're a dad, you say, I do a lot of those things too. But you remember, just like the video, a lot of times a mother do things that go unnoticed. And you may say, oh, I take care of the yard. I mow the lawn. I repair the house when you know, there's termite damage or it needs painting. I take care of the cars. Yeah, we do all those things. But think about this, guys. For those of you guys that are married, I want you to try to remember the last time you did a household chore. How much did your wife have to encourage you? I said encourage now, not nag. Encourage you. Because I've been there. Sometimes my wife, John Lee, will tell me, oh, the toilet is not flushing well. And I go, okay, I'll do it a little bit. Let me rest a little bit. And guess what? the day passes and nothing gets done. And the next day comes, oh, the toilet is not flushing well. And you go, okay, I'll get to it. And you keep procrastinating. But the moms, right, they know things got to be done. Thank God for moms. They stay with it, right? They stay with the program and they encourage us to get what needs to be done. And this kind of reminds me of the comic strip Blondie. You guys know that comic strip, right? Where Dagwood is the husband. He just had a huge, giant Subway sandwich, and he's ready to crash out on the sofa. And then Blondie, his wife, who is in the other room, calls out to him, "Dagwood, remember, you gotta clean out the garage. I know it's Sunday, but you must clean it out. You've been procrastinating." And, you know, Dagwood, he wants to just chill out. He wants to just crash. So he runs out of room, but he can't think of a place to hide. So suddenly a light bulb comes on in his head, and he goes to the very place where he knows that Blondie will not find him. You know where that is? That's in the garage. And he's thinking to himself, she'll never look for me in here. This is the last place where she thinks I will be. But he's already in the garage. Why not just do it? And that's the whole thing, right? We, as men, sometimes, we procrastinate.
Sometimes.
But sometimes, right? But thank God, our wives are there to help keep us in line. And we help out our wives, too. Not to say that our wives are perfect, and we can say that, right? Because no one is perfect. But you know what? Our wives, we thank God for them, that they encourage us in this way. And so, I can tell you this, though, with Shabbatai and Jozabad, they took their job seriously. You know why? Because, first of all, we learn in the scriptures that they are the head of the Levites, and they were the primary ones in charge of God's household. I mean, they had a big task. I mean, they made sure that they had to make sure the church was running properly. Everything was where it should be. Look at what it says in Numbers 1, 50 to 51. It says here, "Instead, appoint the Levites to be in charge of the tabernacle of the covenant law, over all its furnishings and everything belonging to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings. They are to take care of it and encamp around it. Whenever the tabernacle is to move, the Levites are to take it down, and whenever the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall do it." Look what that last sentence says there. "Anyone else who approaches it is to be put to death." So they were the chosen ones. Because a lot of times people will say, you know what I do in church? I just help set up, I help clean up, and that's all I do. Oh man, do you realize you guys got a very important job? Just like the Levite, no one else could do it. It says anyone else who did these things were put to death. And just like how we set up the tents on Saturday, that's our sanctuary. Did you know that? This is church. And the guys, all the deacons and all the other volunteers that help out, man, this is a very important job for you guys to do, knowing that you're setting up the house of God. Because when people come in, you know, they'll say, I just feel the love of God. I feel the presence of God when I come here. It's not just, you know, putting up poles and, you know, getting the cover over the thing. No, it's more to it than that. Because when you guys do this, realize you're setting up for people to experience the presence of God. Amen? So it's a big job. Be proud of the fact that you have this very task of setting up the sanctuary, the house of the Lord. Amen? So the question is, who are the Shabbatai and the Jozabads in our church, the ones that keep things in good condition? When something breaks, they're the ones that fix it or tell someone about it, say, you know what, you need to replace this. Or do you just see something broken? Okay, well, I hope somehow it'll fix by itself. Right? And we don't say anything. No, remember, this is the house of the Lord. We want to make everyone comfortable. We want to make everyone welcome. So if the water dispenser is not working, tell someone about it. And we'll get it going and we'll replace it if necessary. Because, you know, that's what it is. People come in, they realize this is the house of the Lord. Or if something needs to be moved, do you move it? You know something is obstructing the path. If there's garbage on the ground, then you just go, okay, I hope someone will pick that up. Or do you say, you know what? I'm going to be the one. Throw it away. Why not? Because remember, we're doing it for the Lord. This is a place where we know it's sanctuary unto the Lord. So whatever you see is not right, anything that seems like out of place, oh, fix it, right? Get it done. And I tell you, God, you will be pleased knowing you're doing it for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number three here is Mattaniah. Another name you never heard of, right? Mattaniah. And look what it says in Nehemiah 11:17. It says, Mattaniah, son of Micah, the son of Zadai, the son of Aspha, the director who led in thanksgiving and prayer. So Mattaniah, he was the temple's prayer warrior and chief encourager. While others complained, guess what he would do? He would pray and give thanks. You know someone like that? When there's confusion, where there are situations where you don't know what to do. There's a problem that, you know, has come forth in the church. Do you get all frazzled? Oh, what are we going to do now? Or do you start praying? That's what I know. Some people say, let's pray. That's what we should do. Instead of trying to fix it ourselves, we go to God first. And we say, Lord, help us. We're in a confused state of mind right now, and we need your help. Show us, Lord. Give us peace. Give us instruction on what we are to do. Oh, that's so powerful. We need more people like that, more Mattaniahs that says, you know, let's give thanks to God. And sometimes we feel like, oh, we don't have enough of a certain thing. Oh, we just thank God in gratitude that we have what we have. We are content. And I tell you, these kinds of prayers are strong. When someone starts praying like that, everything just starts to fall in place. Our mind just starts to be at ease, knowing that, hey, God is in control. And you know, I got to tell you, there's nothing like a prayer of a mom. You know, I got to quote to you what Abraham Lincoln says. This is what he says. He says, I remember my mom's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Wow. He remembers his mother's prayers. Why not his father's prayers? Think about that for a second. You know, there's something about mother's prayer that really touches a child's heart. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Stormy O'Martian. She's the author of this book called The Power of a Praying Parent. And one time she wrote about how her prayers impacted her two children. And basically her two children are 4 years apart. And so her son was 4 years old, her daughter was born. And she said as soon as her daughter was born, she would be praying for them. She'd be praying that they would, more than just get along with each other, that they would love each other deeply. And she said, Lord God, let your love just fall upon my two kids. I pray their relationship will be so blessed. They will be so overjoyed just to be with one another. And you know what? That was the case. She said that a lot of times, it would be like almost like abnormal to watch, knowing like a brother and sister. It shouldn't be, right? But they're hugging and they're kissing. I mean, they're really showing a lot of affection, you know, just wanting to just spend time with one another. They're just overjoyed knowing that they're siblings. Wow. And here's the thing. This went on for years and years and years until they became teenagers. And suddenly, they started to kind of like grow apart. And they even started to bicker. They started arguing. They started fighting with one another. And then Stormy said she realized the reason why was because she stopped praying. Because she thought, okay, they love each other so much, I don't have to pray anymore. And then guess what? They started to argue. And they started even to say that they didn't like each other anymore. You know what Stormy did? She started praying once again. From the heart of a mom, she started crying out to God. And you know what? She said it did start getting better again, but it was not the same as it was before. But she realized there is power in our prayer, and I believe especially in mom's prayer, because it comes so deep from the heart. And then she talks about this verse in Isaiah 58:12. It's in your notes. Look what it says there. It says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called, look what it says there, the repairer of the breach. Breach means broken relationships. That's what breach means. It says you will be the repairer of broken relationships, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Wow. And where do you think we have to start in order to become a repairer of the breach? It starts with us on our knees praying to God. If you know there are any broken relationships within your family, go to God. You are to be a repairer of the breach. That's what God calls us to do. The way we do it is we go to Him. We cry out to God. Say, oh, I know my relationship with my son or daughter or my husband is not solid. It's drifting, Lord. It's a point where it seems like we don't care for one another. And you got to go to God and say, Lord, help me, show me what I can do to repair the relationship. I pray, Lord, that your love will come, your joy will come, that there will be no division within our families. Oh, there's power in that kind of prayer. We are to be a repairer of the breach. Amen? I tell you, there's so much power. You don't believe me? You do it. If you have a broken relationship with someone, start asking God to repair it. Start asking God to let His love come forth. You'll be surprised. I tell you, the Spirit of God will just come forth as you go to Him like that, as you cry out to Him. Amen? So the question is, who are the prayer warriors and the chief encouragers in our church? It's about time we start thanking them because they're praying for us. The ones that, I'm sure, there's many of us here in this church, we're praying for each other. We're praying for our brothers and sisters at the park. Wow. This means a lot. Because I tell you, a church without prayer warriors, I tell you, it's a dead church. That's what I'm going to say. It's a dead church. A church that is vibrant in praying. Wow! That's why people come to church and they say, this is my first time here, and I'm experiencing a love like no other. Wow! That's because we're praying, aren't we? It's because we're seeking after God, aren't we? That's what it takes for us to be a people of prayer. Well, the last one here, it's Uzi. Uzi. Did I say it? Uzi. That's a U-Z-Z-I. Uzi. That's a cute name there. But look what it says here in Nehemiah 11:22. It says, the chief officer of the Levites in Jerusalem was who? Uzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Madaniah, the son of Micah. Uzziah, or Uzi, was one of Asaph's descendants who were the musicians responsible for the service of the house of God. So what did Uzi do? He led the people in worship each week, and he helped bring the people into God's presence through songs of praise. And I have to tell you, when we have like Freeman or Brother Omar here with all the rest of the band, with Red and everyone else, you know, it's not about the song. You got to understand that. You know, you can say, oh, I really like that song. I wish, you know, Freeman would play it more. It's not so much about the song. I got to tell you, it's about the heart of worship. It has to come from within your soul. Because we can sing a song that you like, oh, that's good, but make sure it has to come from within. It's not because you're just enjoying the music or the lyrics. No, it has to come from within. When you're singing it, you're expressing to God, oh, I'm running to you, Lord. I'm running to you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I mean, that's what true worship is all about. It must come from deep within your spirit. But you know, when we talk about mothers truly exemplifying this kind of heart of praise, I mean, who better else than Mary, the mother of God? I want you to look what it says here, Luke 1, 46-49. It says here, and Mary said, look what she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. And you can just sense it. Don't you feel like the praise just coming out of her? My soul glorifies the Lord. Wow. And That's what we are to do when we worship God. So you are to glorify our magnificent, most awesome God. It has to come from deep within your emotions, knowing that God loves it when we can express to Him how much we love Him. And look what it says in Acts 1:14. This is how we know Mary, she also was one that you can call her a prayer warrior. I'm sure she was praying for Jesus all of the time. And in Acts 1:14, this is right after Jesus appeared to the disciples, after He had died and has been resurrected. We know that all the disciples that come together, look what it says here in Acts 1:14. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women and who else? Mary, mother of Jesus and His brothers. So can you imagine? All the disciples, they went up to the upper room to pray. And guess who's there? Mary, mother of Jesus, mother of God. She was up there praying constantly. And you realize that's what should be true for all of us. But with mothers, wow, you can see, I'm sure she was praying for Jesus all of the time. And you know how much her heart was broken when she probably saw her son hanging on the cross like that. Still, you know, her love for her son was still strong. She knew that he was there for a reason. God put him there for a reason, for a purpose. And the question is, who are the Uzis in our church? Who are the one that gets people excited about worshiping God? Because you know what? When we come, we are to come excited. I know Sunday morning, you know, you kind of feel kind of tired. You feel kind of weary. And sometimes, you know, you're kind of groggy-eyed. But you know what? As soon as you step into the church, oh, just let the Holy Spirit fill your heart. Because immediately your mind should tell you, okay, I'm ready to worship God. I'm going to give my best to you, Lord. Because, hey, think about it, right? We can go into a football stadium to watch the UH Warriors, you know, especially when they're doing really good, they have a good season. You know, we're like, ah! We're like, everyone's cheering. You've been to one of those games? Oh, Colt Brennan was playing. I went to one of the games. Oh, everyone's just going wild. I mean, you can't hear yourself talking. You know, when I try to talk to my friend, what? Everyone's just screaming and cheering, you know, the UH Warriors. Shouldn't we come with that kind of heart too? Because it's not about having a loud voice. It's not about having a loud voice. It's about having a loud spirit for Him. You just come, oh, Lord. Just like what you see here in Psalm 100. Look at your notes. Psalm 100, 1 to 3. It says there, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. And we are His. We are His people. The sheep of His pasture. It's not about how loud your voice is. Are you crying out to God from within your soul? When you sing these songs of praise that Freeman leads us with, are you expressing it from your soul? Because I look at this brother, I see how much growth. Yeah, sure. I mean, just in a short amount of time, I want to just praise God for my brother. And I see him worshiping up here, and all the other guys, I know you guys are worshiping from the heart. And that's why all of us, we're raising our hands, we're praising God, because it's the Spirit that comes forth. Amen?
Amen.
It's not about the song. It's about the Spirit that we let out, that comes forth, and we go to Him in love. So the question is, are you willing to volunteer? To be moved by God from deep within, to serve Him wherever you are needed. Whatever the task may be, are you willing to do it? You know, for no recognition. Just like mom, right? They do it not for recognition. They don't do what they do. Oh, now hope my kids will love me even more because I did this. No, they're doing it because their mind is set on doing it because I simply love them. I love them, so that's why I do what I do. You guys see that? And are you willing to serve God in complete secrecy? Because like I said earlier, God called us to be faithful, not what? Famous. And you know, this basically means three things. First of all, I want to tell you, God has given us unique gifts to be used for Him. All of us have special gifts. And if we utilize them, because God will show it to you as you just go and ask the Lord what it is that, what is your calling for you, for your life in the church. God will show it to you. And as you put it to practice, as you go ahead and do it, I got to tell you, so many lives will be blessed. Because God has given us all special gifts. It's when we start utilizing it, many lives will be touched. Many lives will be transformed. And the second thing is, you got to realize nothing you do for God will go unnoticed by God. And Scripture clearly tells us this. Whatever you do unto God, God, He's not just looking at what you're doing. He's smiling. What you do is not going to go unnoticed. God says, oh, I'm going to reward my child now. And you may say, oh, I don't really need a reward, Lord. You know what? The Lord, He wants to give it to you. Receive it. Because it's a blessing from God. Because He knows that your heart is in the right place. And the last point, He says, more important than people knowing who you are is people knowing who God is. So the whole point of this is, it's not about, when it concerns ministry, it's not about people getting to know who you are. When you're serving God, the most important thing that should be in your mind and in your heart is, I wonder if that person knows God. You're not concerned about, oh, does that person know who I am? No, it doesn't matter really, does it? When it concerns ministry, your main objective is to just tell as many people as you can about the good news of the gospel of Christ. Telling them that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ is their Savior. They just have to open their heart and give of their lives fully unto God. Well, here's the bottom line verse. It's in Hebrews 6, 10 to 11. It says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for who? Other believers, as you still do. Our great desire, look what it says there, that is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. Amen. In order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Keep on loving others as long as you have breath. As long as your life lasts. And just like what my brother Freddie said, hope. Just like what that guy told us, right? He says, I experience the love of God when I come here. Amen. Wow, it's because of you guys. You're showing off the love of God in great abundance. You're showing off the love of God from deep within, and people are taking notice. It's not going unnoticed. People are noticing that you guys are a true church because you're representing Jesus Christ very, very well. I got to tell you, you know, outside of Washington, D.C., in Arlington National Cemetery, there is what is called the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You guys ever heard of that? The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And this monument represents the millions of Americans who have given their lives in defense for us, right? For our nation. And every one of us owe them a debt of gratitude for this great army of the unknowns. Because you know what? We don't know who they are. Yet they were willing to fight for us. And yet we know God was willing to do the same for us. Jesus Christ was willing to do that for us, to suffer and to die for us. Because why? Because He loves us so deeply, so genuinely. And we know moms are the same way. And dads too, right? We know we love our family because God put us here for a reason. With the family that we have, are we going to love them deeply? That's what God calls us to do, to love sacrificially. Because that's a true love that can come from a human being. It's the love of God that is poured forth in the person's heart when they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we know God is looking for a few good people who are not interested in making a name for themselves, but they're interested in making the name of Christ known. Amen. And we know as we go and do as He calls us to do, we're going to be more than volunteers, right? We're going to be servants unto the living God. And we're going to do whatever He asks us to because we know that's our purpose. Here on this planet Earth, we're going to serve Him with our whole hearts. And we're going to see the fruit. We're going to see the blessings. We're going to see the miracles. And the last thing I want to just ask you, why do you think President Lincoln remembered his mom's prayers? Just think about that for a second. Why is it that he remembered his mom's prayers? And the only thing is, if you were to ask my kids, I think they would tell you, because every night John Lee would pray for them. I would pray for them on my own and stuff, but she would go into their room and take that prayer book and just start praying, speaking blessings upon their life, even praying for their future spouse. Yeah, that's what John Lee is doing. Oh, wow. And the whole thing about this is, when I hear her praying sometimes, I'll just walk into the room, I just hear her praying. It's something about mom's prayer that is so loving, so tender. I mean, it's so real. And it's only can express from a mom. And I go, wow, yeah. That's why, you know, Abraham Lincoln remembered her mother's prayers. And whether his dad prayed for him or not, we realize he remembered his mother's prayers. And I want to conclude by showing you this video. You probably heard of this song. It's called A Mother's Prayer, sung by Celine Dion. And it's a real special song. It's about a mother who's praying for her child. She's praying that God will protect her or him, or that God will constantly keep an eye on all that this person is doing. So I'm going to ask Arthur, can you go ahead and show that video? Mom's more now, realizing all that she does. Our moms are so special. But realizing, you know, God calls us to also have that kind of same heart, knowing that sometimes it's okay, you know, that even though we go unnoticed, we don't get thanked for all that we do within the church. It's all right. Remember, we're doing it for an audience of one, right? It's for Jesus. It's for God. We're doing it not for man. We're doing it for God. And I was just talking to some of the brothers the other day, you know, I said, you know, you realize some days I kind of grow weary. I mean, I have so much passion to serve God, so much zeal to give Him my best, but, you know, because I'm human, I'm flesh, there are days I just get so tired. But I always go to the Holy Spirit of God. I ask Him to recharge me up. I ask Him to just let His presence just overflow in my life. And, you know, He gives me all I need to just continue to move forward with Him. And I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need someone to tell me, oh, job well done, Pastor. I don't need all that. I just need Him to know that I'm doing it all for Him, that I love my Father God so much. That's why I do what I do. I don't want to slow down. I tell you the truth, I love Him that much. I want to just give all of my best to Him. And I need Him to carry me through. I need Him to give me strength to give up my best unto Him. So as it is for all of us, amen, as we realize He will empower us. He will strengthen us. We give Him all the glory. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Oh, Lord God, we thank You, Lord, for the message spoken today. And I thank You, Lord, knowing, Father, we are here because we want to serve You. We love You so much. And we know Your hand is upon our lives, and You're directing us, You're guiding us to do what we were called to do. And I pray, Lord, You will continue to ignite that fire, that passion in us to continue to give of our best unto You. And not for a moment, Lord, will we grow weary doing good unto the Lord. Whenever there's the opportunity, I pray Your Holy Spirit will come in. Fill us up, overflowing with Your power and presence, so that we can do exactly what You call us to do. Now you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I realize that's me. Sometimes I feel like I'm running on empty. You know, people don't notice what I'm doing, and people just don't have any gratitude. And sometimes I just don't want to do anything in the church. But I realize now that when I do things unnoticed, I realize more so my Father God notices me, because He realizes that we're doing it all for Him. And as we say, it doesn't matter what people say or what people will tell us. It's what we know, what You have shown to us in our hearts, that we are greatly valued. We are deeply appreciated by You, because we're doing it all for You. And now You're saying, now I realize I'm just going to have this passion to give Him my best, the Lord. Whatever my gift is, I'm going to just let it shine forth, knowing God is the one that will work through me. And if that's your heart's desire, to say, I'm going to give my best unto the Lord from this day forward. And I don't need any accolades. I don't need any applause. I just need to know that I'm giving my best unto the Lord. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm going to continue to give of my best unto my Father God. I'm going to serve Him with my whole heart, my whole life. Praise God. Anyone else? Just raise your hand and say, that's me, Lord. I'm serving You, my Father God, my awesome King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Now let's pray. Father God, You see now the hands that were raised. More importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I want to serve You with my whole life. I don't need any kind of accolade or applause from anyone. I just need to know, Lord, that I'm giving my best unto You. Father God, will You right now just fill up Your children with Your holy presence. Let Your fire just ignite right now in my brothers and sisters' hearts as they come fully charged up for You. I pray whatever the need is, whatever the hurt is, as they go out into the world, they will be the ones that will make a difference. They will speak Your word. They will speak of Your love, so that people will truly know that they have a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. I thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do in all of our lives. We are ready, we are willing, and we want to give You all the praise. In Jesus' name. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, what you can do is pray a simple prayer. I'm going to be leading everyone in this prayer in just a minute here. And if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait any longer because God wants to bless you today. And if you're ready to surrender your whole life to Jesus, if you're ready to say, Lord, my heart, I'm giving it all to you. And if you are wanting to just say, Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you ask. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me? I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Praise God. Anyone else? Say, Lord, that's me. I'm ready to say yes to whatever you call me to do. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. All right, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray it together as a family. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Let's all stand.